I'll take all the blame, and I'll make sure I buy you a box of chicken for yourself.
I like breasts and wings.
You know, I'm the same way. This meeting with you, it's all public, mm-hmm. and which is the way it's supposed to be. And this is something I used to do years ago. I called them sunshine meetings.
Gotcha.
And I would meet with different council members, you know, and I thought this would be a good time with new council members coming in, just to kind of get to know them. And God, I've known you for so long, I could almost sit here and
yes,
tear
sir.
Up.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we can talk.
I'm telling you. And how kind you always were to my family.
Yeah.
You know, Ken, there's certain things that leave a stamp on people's
yes,
hearts and lives, and you've left a lot of those, and one of those is on mine. And I would have never guessed in a million years you and I would have the chance to serve together. And so this meeting really is, I mean, you can ask me what's important to me, but I'm really here to make it your meeting.
Yes, sir.
To talk to me as at large. And maybe you could share with me just a little bit on what inspired you to run, just for the heck of it. And also, do you have a funny story that you want to share or not share during your campaign along the way here?
Not really. I mean, you know, it's. First off, thank you for the opportunity to be with you, and I really am humbled and glad to be here. I've respected your passion, your family's commitment to this community that you guys, the Carlucci's, have given back in blood, sweat, and equity. You know, you love this place, and it shows. And so I thank you for the commitment that your family has given.
Well, thank you.
Down through the ages to make Jacksonville a better place for everyone. And so that's something that's commendable. I'm humbled to sit here with you. Would I have thought in 1,000 years we'd be both on the city council? No. But the dawning of Aquarius, you know,
yeah.
The moon and the stars align, and you just never know what, you know,
right.
When doors of opportunities are open, you if you're smart, you step in and you're trying to make a difference. You asked me, you know, what made me decide to get into this arena. Well, you know, as you know, I was retired, and I thank you for coming over to station during that season and presenting a resolution and all that. But I was retired, and
by the way, that was one of my great honors, honest to goodness.
Yeah, yeah, and that was
one of my great
that
honors.
That was tremendous.
It's the only bow tie I have.
Tremendous gratitude in that, but I didn't want to go back into the workforce. I didn't feel that I was finished working or giving back to the community. And the incumbent, Joyce Morgan, was termed out,
mm-hmm.
And I just for a moment, the thought crossed my mind about doing that. You know, while I was still working, Hazuri and a bunch of other folks had approached me about entering public service, and I said, "Hey, I'm working. I'm not even thinking about that." You know, but after I retired, it just came back in my spirit,
mm-hmm.
and so the opportunity presented itself, and I decided to walk into the door. It's been a learning process, to be honest, as a journalist covering City Hall from the outside is a whole different perspective as to when you are on the inside, when you're watching how the sausage is made and what the outcome is. It's a little bit different. One of the hardest things in the process for me was asking people for money, because I'm not a transactional person. I mean, you know, I don't do things to get things or, you know, with the expectation of something in return.
Yeah.
So I'm not transactional, and I hope that doesn't change. So that was a difficult task. But the experience was not that bad because I think many of those who did give to the campaign knew who I was, and they were supporting my integrity more so than politics. But here I am. So I've started this new agenda as the representative for District 1.
And I mean, by the way, I heard a lot of good things about you as you went about, because you're Kinemera. Everybody knows Kinemera.
Well,
but
you know.
Nobody looked at you as in any view of some presumption that you could run and just win, that you worked hard, and that you listened. Yeah. And a lot of positive feedback that I picked up on.
Good,
know,
good.
The campaign. So
you asked one of the funny stories. When I was telephone canvassing, you know, my guy gave me a list of the NPAs and a list of the Democrats. So it was funny. This is Kinemera, the Republican candidate for. I don't vote Republican. So, I said, okay, that's fine. I guess my name didn't matter. It was just the fact that I had the R tag.
You know, I will tell you that, and that's why I don't play party politics.
Yeah. Well, at this level, it's irrelevant. You know, LaGuardia, the former mayor of New York, three times mayor of New York. He's famous for saying that there's no Democrat, no Republican way to sweep the streets. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So at this level, it doesn't matter.
I just wanted to, real quick, I just wanted to meet, mainly just to hear, you know, what your priorities are, yeah. What I can help you with, and so forth. And if you want to ask me some questions, you can. But
sure.
I'm just interested to know.
I'm still working through the legislative priorities for District 1. But there are a couple of things that have been on the agenda that I would like to see come to fruition, at least get started in 23, in this cycle. Number one, there's a fire station that has been budgeted. I think it's Station 67. I'm not sure what the exact identification number is, but it's on Merrill Road, where Merrill and Hartsfield. And I saw where the budget has already been approved, and it looked like they were supposed to turn dirt in 22, but here we are in 23, and I don't know what the status is as far as whether the real estate division has acquired the land. I don't know any of that, but that's something that I would like to see get going in this cycle and not wait until 24, especially since it's already funded from what I've read. Because you know how capital costs are, and when you fund it this year at these dollars, and then you drag your feet, and then when it's time to build, you need $2 million more. And where's that supposed to come from?
And as you go through, as we go through the budget on finance, whether we're members or not, we mm-hmm. can still attend, and you can find out more about that. And let me just throw one thing out
sure.
for you that. Have been a great help to me. Is first of all, always you know this. Lean on the council auditor. That there is no more important department or whatever you want to call it than the council auditors. They are independent by charter, and lean on the general counsel when you're just not sure what to do. You know, and if it deals with finances. I really lean hard yeah. on the council auditors. And also, in our own council staff, Jeff Clements and his research team. So if I want to do some research on an issue, Sherry, who is a great researcher in her own right, mm-hmm. Which, by the way, we have Sherry Weber. We have Joe, not sure what your last name is.
Johnson.
Joe Johnson, your council aide.
Yeah.
And we have Amber, who is council member Lehman. Who's council member Howland's aide is here, and John Nooney in the back.
Hello, John. Amber.
But Jeff Clements is in research, and they can really help you find out information about what is coming up in the CIP, the auditors especially in your district and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And having a meeting with the council auditors, once a month, you could do worse things. especially during the budget season. Yeah. So I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's fantastic, and I'll take advantage of the wisdom because I anticipate a 6-month learning curve for me, but no longer. I'm ready to hit the ground running. Yeah. It's just trying to navigate the processes. Right. You know that mm-hmm. that. I was on a Zoom call recently with JEA, JTA, and COJ about some road work in District 1, and I walked away flabbergasted that they'd been talking about it for a year, and it looks like it's going to be another year before. I'm like, there has to be a better way. Well, come on.
Welcome to government.
I'm like, and I told him that. I said, guys, there has to be a better way. But I don't know what the better way is. Yeah. But anyway, so there are a couple of things on immediately in my foresight. You know, I mentioned the fire station. I'd like to see more black and whites. Of course, that's working with JSO to get some kind of beefing up in District 2. Zone 2, at least, because Zone 2 covers a wide area, but...
More police officers?
Yeah, a couple more cars or something. I just met Daryl Joseph on the way in.
Right.
And parks are a big concern of mine. We've got Bruce Park, Victory Park, Cypress, Fort Caroline...
Ed Austin
is not, and that's a District 2 park in District 2. That's Mike Gay, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's a park over in Sin City. I can't remember the name of it right now. There's
but
a Boys and
Club.
They need to be brought up to date.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Cypress has done wonderful, but for example, what's lacking now is the swimming pool, which there used to be a pool. They demolished the pool to redo the park. And from the last conversation with Mr. Joseph, the funds are there. I don't know why they can't put the pool in. Victory Park, which was a gem in the jewel of Crown of Arlington, bathrooms don't function. It is... Again, as a layperson, some of these things are inexcusable and should be done either through regular maintenance or something, that they should not be at a place where they're completely dysfunctional.
Where is Victory?
It's off of Fort Caroline. And the Impact Church, one of the largest employers and there's a park that they have been a part of in Sin City over there by Kona Park. What's that area called? Jesus. Anyway, there's some issues with that park as well that needs to be addressed. So, because they're facilitating and targeting an underserved community there, and they just can't seem to get it done well. Yes, sir.
Ever since I, was a teenager, I've always heard that area, that certain area.
Oh, Sin City?
Sin City. And a good friend of mine lived in there, and I always found it, he kind of lived back towards the back of it, and I would drive through there, and I have to tell you, back in those days, I'm not sure about nowadays, but back in those days, it looked like a rough.
And that's why they call it that.
So, that's not the official name, I'm supposed.
No, it's the main O'Hare and Galveston, some of the main roads throughout that neighborhood.
You think
and
there would be a value in trying to change that name?
Well, you know, the good thing, Councilman Carlucci, is that the neighborhood is in transition. There is a rejuvenation that is taking place. Some of the mobile homes have been removed and small you know, craftsman type homes are going up in there. It's Woodland Acres is the park I'm trying to remember.
Okay.
Woodland Acres. There is some transition that is taking place. And I got the sensibility on the campaign trail that for some reason that community just has always felt left out. And I don't know if that's to be true. That's just a perception that it's always felt left out from the rest of District 1. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's true. Again,
City?
I think it has.
I think one of the reasons is it's like you can pass by it real easy. But once you get in there, you know, there's quite a number of units.
Well, there used to be bikers and, you know, some of the rough guys used to had occupied and had domain historically over the years. But they're just like any neighborhood, they're decent people who are living there, and that's what they can afford. And so that's their home, you know. And unfortunately, our culture is such that we don't differentiate, we commingle. And so you take everyone takes a stain of the bad when in fact they're good folks who are living there, you know. But anyway, so parks, you know, one of the things that have troubled me in District 1, I've lived there since 1975. I've seen a steady decline in, and now it's at a stagnant level, if you will, where there's an introduction of blight, and Arlington was always a very clean suburban community, but now it's the cause of two things. It's the aging of the properties And secondly, in my observation, the absentee of property owners. They've now become renters, and they don't feel that, you know, you've got tenants that don't feel the responsibility of ownership, and you've got owners who are absentee who don't, they're not engaged as long as they get the check, you know, and it's a shame. So I'd like to see, and I'm not a big fan of this, but I think it's necessary. I'd like to see municipal code enforcement at least step up the game in that area and enforce whatever code violations there are. And then we've got the three corridors that are covered by the CRA that some of the businesses are non-compliant. And granted, I know they've got until 25. But why wait until 25? Start doing something to beautify and landscape the area now so that when I'm driving down Merrill Road, I don't have to go like, oh, my God, where am I?
Joyce worked hard on that CRA. And they do have until 2025.
Do you know? I don't know what month.
But they need to comply by 2025. Yeah.
But my thing is, why wait until then?
Well, I get it. And you know what? You and I both know as fast as time goes.
Yes, sir.
2025 will be here.
It'll be here. And then they'll have to hit you with the heavy hammer. There's a tire shop, for example, at Merrill and Red Oak. My gosh, I would hate to live next to that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, just number one, it's an eyesore right now, and it's a business. I get that, and you don't want to choke off a business, but it's an eyesore. Secondly, I believe it's an environmental concern. I mean, tires are, and this just my work experience, that big breeding grounds for mosquitoes and things of that nature,
and
their homes right next to it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd hate to be there. And then heaven forbid that there's a fire or something, and you know what happens.
Yeah.
A tire fire doesn't go out.
If you like, I'll share with you one of the ways that I handled code violations in my district when I was a district council person.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. But more times than not, it worked. And I'll use one place as an example. There's a mechanic on Hendricks Avenue.
Okay.
In front of his, all the concrete, because mm-hmm. it was an old service station before. So all the concrete.
Hendricks and Emerson?
Yes, okay. Right there. And the gentleman that owned it, he had done some work for my car before. Nice guy. But he was basically using, and he didn't know any better, he was basically using that as a car lot for sale.
Oh.
Selling used cars.
Yeah.
And so somebody called me. I guess they called me. That must be what prompted me. And said, I'm going to turn that one in. And will you turn it in for me? And if they're violating the code, then, I have an obligation to do that. So what I did was the owner now has passed away, but his name was Bill. And I went by to see Bill. And I said, look, Bill, I have got to tell you all those cars parked out there is a violation of the code. And I've gotten some complaints. So I'd rather just tell you and share with you that so you could take care of eliminating that, because I don't want to turn the government on
mm-hmm.
you. He could not have more appreciated the fact that I didn't turn it in
mm-hmm.
I couldn't appreciate more how quickly he took care of the problem. It was amazing.
Yeah, and you know.
He became one of my biggest fans.
And there are responsible individuals like that where you, you pull their shirt tail and say, hey, this is not what's supposed to be, and mm-hmm. and they respond. And then you've got some that they're the renters of the property, so they don't, the citation is not going to them as an individual, it's more likely going to whosever name is on.
Yeah, the work you
on
did
the title.
Yeah. 12 for years, that has prepared you well to work on a lot of these problems.
Well, I used to tell folks that I didn't have any police authority. I just had a 40 guy with a 40 pound camera behind me, and that was that. But
one of them's a judge today.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she is. She's apparently doing an outstanding job on the bench as well.
Is.
So, I mean, those are a couple of things that are immediate, but I have to, and with Joe's assistance, we've been trying to weed through the capital improvement projects and see where they are, where things are, and so by the time third quarter gets here, I hope to be up to par and running with my wish list.
Well, I'm sure.
To get things accomplished.
I'm sure you will. What else about your district?
Those are things that are immediate to mind. We have
Norman Studios in your district?
Yeah, yep. That's something else I need to talk with Mr. Daryl Joseph with. Miss Rita Reagan, apparently her health is, she's in a state of health where she is not as active as she has been. But there are other members of the board of directors who are trying to complete the Norman Studios mm-hmm. Vision, if you will. I was over there recently and they've done a tremendous work on the first floor and it looks fantastic. Their next effort is the second floor to give you that museum mm-hmm. type ambiance. But the city was acquiring the church in the back of them, and I think the transaction has completed. I'm not sure, and that's mm-hmm. where the limbo is, mm-hmm. because that is all part of the development of Norman Studios as a place for people to come and visit, and see how silent movies were made here in Jacksonville, and uh-huh. they were done at the Norman Studios.
I think If I can add this in,
yeah.
Chair, you can correct me if I'm wrong. The bill that's to be voted on tomorrow,
okay.
You're a co-sponsor of it, I'm not sure, the rehab bill that... I keep forgetting you're not on council.
I've been co-sponsored enough,
so mate. We'll be voting on it. Years ago, I put together with a lot of other council members.
Yes, sir.
And Jim Overton and Elaine Brown and some others.
Yeah.
We all chipped in equally.
Uh-huh.
We developed the Downtown Historic Buildings Trust Fund.
Okay.
And that has done a remarkable job in helping restoration of some of these older
historic
buildings.
And it's listen, it's more than preserving an old building.
Yeah.
It's more than that. It's repurposing. It's continuing an identity, keeping character. It's all those things.
You got it. You nailed it. So, I am thinking. I thought about this before. So, I'm glad we're having the meeting today because it just helped remind me. So we lost the Ford plant.
Okay. Yeah. That's over by Talleyrand.
It's outside the downtown district now. Whether we'd have had this program in place or not, that we're voting on tomorrow night. But basically what we're doing, we call it a rehab. It's restoration of endangered historic adaptable buildings. And that's what it's called, rehab. And it is for not-for-profits. It's for mixed-use type of uses. And it's pretty much modeled after the historic trust fund for downtown, but it's for properties outside the downtown boundaries. There's never been a trust fund to help people, rehab, restore some of our historic properties outside of the downtown districts. And this bill will do that. It'll start out with, it'll have $500,000 in it. And so, I think that Norman Studios would be...
It sounds like it would qualify and tap into it.
Well, as soon as the bill passes, if you would like to, I can send you a copy.
Okay.
Romero, there's the Exhibit 1 that goes with the bill, details all the eligibility and kind of how it would operate.
Please do. And I can forward it to the board at Norman Studios because it's a nonprofit. They're looking for resources. And they're leasing. In fact, they're leasing that property from the city. that's the arrangement, to my understanding. It's like a forever lease.
There's a process that you have to go through to apply and to make sure you're eligible and so forth. But I think that is already a local historic landmark.
Yes.
So it meets that criteria, or maybe not owned by a not-for-profit, but managed. So I don't know how that would affect it, but. If Norman Studios applied, they could be. I say could, because
I get it.
But up to $100,000.
Yeah.
Of which it's a completion grant money, so you got to complete the project in order to get the grant money back. But
I in my meeting with the leadership there, I know that the city was finalizing the acquisition of the church property, which will then be reincorporated with the Norman Studios, because initially the studio operated out of 5 buildings right there off Arlington Road. And over the years, those buildings were parceled off.
Mm-hmm.
And the largest one is now a church, but the church has moved out.
I think there was electrician's office there.
Yeah.
Hugh Electric Company was there for many years.
It's got a rich history.
Yeah.
It's just,
and then they were using that actual studio, and then the city, and the Reagans, and a lot of other people in Arlington got involved.
Yeah. And it's amazing. I was sitting there. I said, "Well, why would anyone want to be making movies out here in the middle of Arlington?" Apparently it was a very functional site, and they use a lot of talent, local talent, like there's a black physician that he's now deceased. I can't remember his name now, but Anyway, he was one of the recurring actors in one of these. They named a school on the east side after him. What's that? R.A.
Brown?
Brown.
Yep.
R.A. Brown, Dr. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the recurring actors in some of these films.
I never made that connection.
And I'm sitting there going, okay.
What a great connection to make.
Yeah, it's interesting. They use a lot of local folks in making these silent movies. and so people were actors. I don't know if they were ever compensated, but the history is just so rich.
Yeah.
And the connection as to why it's important to the culture of Jacksonville. While they were making movies out west, they were making movies here on the East Coast in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the items that needs a little bit of closure from their perspective as to, has the city completed the transaction? When will it be turned over to them so that they can start moving forward with plans?
That does need to come to a closure.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, there's some other resources that they can tap into just to keep it going. But it's a brilliant idea. I mean, it's what I've seen, I see the potential, the necessity of it, so.
Well, this rehab bill, if it passes tomorrow night, I have 11 or 12 co-sponsors, so I think I can get it over the goal line. But it won't be funded until the budget is approved.
Gotcha.
Because the money came from our strategic plan.
Gotcha.
And but Norman Studios, I think, would be,
There should be some level of eligibility.
So I would say, getting into the fall, after October 1st, getting into mid-October, those folks wanted to talk with planning. I guess they would start with planning department.
Yes, sir. Sure. The application process will go through planning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll let them know.
I heard a ring. Is some?
I'm sorry. I didn't
there.
Oh, I just didn't know we were. We still got a little bit more time.
Yeah. Oh, we're on. Yeah. Good on time. One of the things that I like that, at first I was a little bit. I want to be careful of my choice of words because words matter. I was a little bit skeptical about, in my research while in the running process, I noticed there were a number of civic organizations who were trying to do things to revitalize, rejuvenate, restore the community, but everyone seems like they had their own path.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that eventually led to the creation of the CRA,
Yeah.
But they're still active, and I commend them for their continued pursuit to make the community that we call home a better place.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to speak to one group the other night. I think it's Old Arlington something. I can't remember the name. And I see where their heart is. And mm-hmm. Hopefully... during my tenure, I can really harness their energies and pull it all together, and we all can get on the same path and get things accomplished. So.
Well, I have no doubt, Ken, you'll have great success up here.
Well, I hope so, Councilman.
I tell you,
I know I'm just one vote.
Here's part of the. Best unkept secret in City Hall,
which is
those district council members tend to stick together
on
certain things because they may need something in their district.
Well, I'm going to need your vote, so you better go. It's the unspoken rule of law, huh?
But I will say, though, being a district council member I found it to be very satisfying.
Oh, yeah.
Because You've been there since 74, 75?
75, yeah.
So you've kind of grown up in that district, and to have the opportunity, you could leave more of your thumbprints in that district than you'll ever believe. Now, some of them may break ground, you know, 9 years from now by the time you're out of office. So make sure you tell that district.
Whoever's coming in.
Don't forget it was mine. I expect to be cutting part of that ribbon, you know. But it is it's very satisfying what you can do on that level. So,
well, you know, in what I did in my career, I one of the things that I learned is, you know, one person at a time. You know, you touch one life, and you make a difference in that one life. Mm-hmm. And so I see the role of city council is not just overlooking the concerns of the entire city, but when you're a district representative, you have to also be concerned about the lives in your area. Mm-hmm. And we have, the community that I call home has transitioned to where it's more diversified now than it's ever been. And we've got, and I don't know what the percentages are, but we've got I think, a high level of absentee ownership, so that leads to renting situations, which I'm not against renting. I just think that there has to be some responsibility either directly from the property owner or from the property owner to whomever he or she rents the property to. Because we all want to live. I don't want to drive down. One of the things that I hate driving down Cesare from Fort Caroline to Merrill, and these big blue trash bins have been sitting on the road for more than a week now, because the trash pickup was, you know, 6 days ago. And I'm like, where's that personal responsibility of removing it from the road and taking it to the side of the house where it's out of sight, out of mind?
We call it pride of ownership.
I just don't get that. Yeah. That's what that does is it contributes to blight. Because aesthetically, as you're driving down, the place looks stinky, funky, ugly, whatever, you know. that's just one of my little...
Well, it may be, you know, that might be an opportunity, I don't know, but to have some sort of, I don't know, meeting
we're going to begin the town halls. Joyce did Chris and Benny did them, you know. So town halls are part of the District 1 DNA, and the community expects to see the town halls continue. Unfortunately, those who need to be there don't come unless it becomes something pertinent to that neighborhood or that street. And the whole purpose of, you know, when I was working, I couldn't attend them given the hours, but after I retired, I started attending them. And I thought they were very enriching, where someone was bringing City Hall to the community. And I'm like, you know, what more can you ask for?
Yeah.
And you know, Mr. Joseph, Mr. Public Works,
probably John Pappas back then.
Pappas you know, they would spend the 2 hours.
Enforcement comes. You invite them all.
Precisely, and they would explain what's taking place, what's the status of projects, why this hasn't been done. Again, whether it was satisfactory or not, they were there, and those who were concerned attended and they heard, and they were informed, and you know what. Most of us, we may not like the speed of things. We may not like decisions, but we like being informed, because it makes us part of the process when we're informed.
Well, so. I have found, and still do, that if you stay in touch with the people, you help people get engaged. authentically, not tokenly.
Yes, sir.
Then even if you make a decision they don't agree with, they feel like at least I understand where he came from. Everybody knows you love Jacksonville. Everybody knows that. And so if I kept my district informed, it's a little different on an at-large level. I don't have town, if I have town meetings, I have to be careful that the district council members don't, you know, get upset. And we try to engage with the district council person about the meetings. And one of those was with Joy. She was wonderful. Another one, location got changed at the last minute, and we weren't able to contact the district council person in time.
Okay.
But it was about the garbage pickup.
Oh, yeah. That one touched a lot of front doors.
Listen, you know, so, you know, one of the issues that I think this council's going to have to look at, it's like the big elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. And I tried to do something with it in 2013 when I chaired finance back, not 2013, 2020 maybe, I don't know. But our garbage fee does not equal the cost of the service. So we have to borrow from the general fund.
Wow.
And that becomes a loan. And the loan back when I was trying to do something with it was $13 million. But I couldn't get the support, and what support I had evaporated. The garbage fee, so we got a $40 million loan from the general fund right now to be paid back. And so the reason we have to pay it back is because our interlocal agreement with the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I see my council lady sneaking up on me.
Just to let you know, you're at five. You got five more minutes.
Okay. So real quick, I think this is important for you to understand going in. So we got about a $38, $40 million loan now. Mm-hmm. The beaches pay for their garbage, the three beaches, they pay their own garbage fee. And then they also pay ad valorem taxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the city did a garbage fee. The one reason we did a garbage fee is because the governor can't touch fees. But the governor can require a municipality to, he can affect your property tax rate. The state can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peyton did a fee because he knew that his revenue stream of Avalon taxes was drying up because of the economy. And he was faced with some real challenges. So he did the stormwater fee and the garbage fee. The garbage fee then had an escalator so that every year would go up a little bit to keep up with the cost of the service. 2016, that particular council did away with the inflationary increase. So then, you know, nobody's ever touched it to increase it to that what the actual cost is until we tried to do it a couple of years ago. Couldn't get the votes. But that garbage fee, when we do increase it, it's going to have to be enough to pay back the loan.
The 40.
Plus the cost of the service. Now, you can do that. You can pay that loan back over a period of 5 years or 6 years if you want to. But we'll have to find a way to pay that off, because if it keeps getting that big, if we ever say, well, let's just go back and let Avalon taxes pay it like it used to. Remember Jake had the commercials, have your trash picked up free, you know, which was true back then, kind of, because...
And it's the expectation, however, of taxpayers.
So, but it was paid for with Avalon, so you never really saw it itemized.
Yeah.
So now the fee is itemized, but it's way below the cost. If we went back to just letting our Avalon taxes pay and no garbage fee, that breaks the interlocal agreement we have with the beaches, because they're going to say, well, look, we're paying for our garbage with a fee, and we're paying Avalon taxes. We're not going to pay your garbage, too.
Mm.
That's the interlocal. And I will tell you, the interlocal agreements with the cities are not something that you want to get involved in too much, because they're real tough. The beaches, you know, they don't want to be viewed as a they as a little brother, I guess. And like you said, words matter. I want to, you know, posture that in the right way. But they have a lot of pride in each of those speeches.
Of course.
And they really don't like Jacksonville fiddling around with them unless they need us.
And they have a high tax base.
Yes, they do. So.
Not high ad valorem, but tax base because of property values.
That's right.
Yeah.
Property values are high. So anyway, that loan's going to have to be paid off. And the only way you can't pay it off with the American Relief Plan money, it has to be paid off through that fee, I believe. So
the fee's going to go up.
Well, it's going to have to. And because it's a assessment on the ad valorem tax bill, it's actually a non-ad valorem assessment. Then the first step is just advertise, sending out a card to every taxpayer that says we're going to start reviewing the garbage fee to see if it's matching the cost, and there'll be town, you know, public hearings and so on and so forth. And that's the process.
Councilman, I can tell you that just as a common sense kind of guy, when I see that card in the mail, I'm going to say, oh, they're going to raise the darn fees.
Well, and that's why I couldn't get the votes, because people just said automatically it's going to be.
They haven't heard nothing yet, but that's the conclusion.
And so
anyway.
The council didn't feel it was time to talk about raising the fee. But my concern was, well, we don't talk about it now. I'd rather talk about it with a $13 million loan than a $40 million loan. And so when we had the town meetings during the garbage pickup, there were people saying, look, if you're not charging the right amount, charge it. You know, we're big boys and girls.
That's probably when they should have done it.
Because
right now it's.
But anyway, I just throwing that out.
Yes, sir.
That's something that that we have got to address somehow or another. But,
I agree. I followed the conversation the other day when they were discussing holding the contract or approving some small increase in the contract through the end of the year or whatever it is, mm-hmm. that Meridian Waste, and they're going to have to redo the contract. So, yeah.
Those contracts aren't going to make the fee any less.
Nope.
Ken, I appreciate you meeting.
Thank you for your time. I think he had.
Mr. Nooney.
Go ahead. John, how are you?
You're up, sir.
Thank you. And Ken, you know that I'm telling Ken, well, you took my call probably about 20 years ago. So
okay.
I almost feel like it's a mini reunion.
Okay.
But, you know, my thing really is always here in Jacksonville is the waterways, you know.
It's the what? Waterways?
The waterways,
okay.
The river, the creeks, you know, even the ocean. You know, it's the entire city. So, you know, my thing right now is with your district, I believe that, you know, the waterway with the Arlington River and the three rowing clubs are in your district.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm the next district over. I'm in District 4, and I'm on Pottsburg Creek. And, in fact, I'm going to a CPAC meeting tonight, you know, and... So,
is that the one at Austin's Park?
No, sir. This one, you know, is for CPAC 3. So which CPAC
three,
are you in? You're in a different CPAC.
I am, yeah.
So, you know, I attended the meeting with Councilwoman Clark Murray. And so now I am realizing I really need to be in touch with you as well. Because the public access on Pottsburg Creek, the Arlington River, yeah, out to the St. John's River, is just crushed. There's only one public access, and that's the boat ramp at Beach Boulevard.
Right near the
All
dive shop
sports.
Or whatever that was.
Isn't there one at the end of Arlington Road?
There is, but... But again, you know, that goes right out into the river near Exchange Club
Island.
I'm
just asking you.
Oh, yeah, there is.
It's still there.
It's there. But, gentlemen, I shared this. You know, I'm sharing it with everybody. You know, Facebook. There's all these Facebook groups. And let me just say, too, I'm on the St. John's Riverkeeper Facebook. but I've been banned from posting. There are Facebook.
Did you say something, John? Well, somebody?
I think it was. You know what? I think it was after I said, you know, save Rodman, feed the manatees. I think that one really may have done it. But anyway, the point is that shouldn't be allowed to happen.
Yeah.
And there are Facebook groups with thousands of members, and the moderators control the posts, and I'm really becoming to realize that. But anyway, back to the waterways. And Ken, self-serving, my wife and I, we've been there. We have Category 1 wetlands. We're next to a FEMA house that should have been demolished. So public access.
And where do you live, John?
8356 Bascom Road. It dead ends. It's a waterfront public access street end. And the previously, like when Scott Wilson was in Daryl Joseph. Yeah. And, I mean, they're on record. It could be a public park, but it would require the political will. And then in the meantime, let me just say this. When we put up that sign, the first neighbors, they came up and they said, Nooney, you know what we're going to do with your place? We're going to make this a private launch. And I was like, well, good for you. You know, go ahead. But you know what? In my heart, give it the first shot that it could be public. And let me just say, Andy Fraden, you know, he's on the Waterways Commission, owner of Allwood Sports, he's supportive if the legislation ever were to present itself. The North Florida Land Trust, Allison DeFore, you know, that group, you know, they see the benefit of the recreational benefits. So, and Ken, let me just share with you, again, welcome to the City Council. What I'm telling everybody is that there are over 2,500 billionaires in the world. Call it the Nooney Project, but I'm reaching out to the billionaires. And it's starting to work, believe it or not, and just having fun with it. But this could be especially how it connects to your district. It is an unbelievable Category 1 ecosystem that would be and again, next to a FEMA house that should have been demolished. FEMA, federal. So it's the big boys right next door. But you can deal with that issue separately. But the missus and I, we are making an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am looking now for a sponsor. Unless the political will from within the council district or whatever happens. But that is the avenue that we are presently looking.
And you're looking for a sponsor for what specifically?
Well, you know what? We have our chief resiliency officer, Ann Coglianese.
Yeah.
We'll make it Resiliency Park, the Ann Coglianese Resiliency Park. You know, it could be, but anyway, we've created a new department, the Office of Philanthropy. So it's almost like with the stadium, it's almost like with anything else. You're looking for those big money people who may just want to just say, you know what, this will be the Ken Amaro, Kevin Carrico public launch, and find that billionaire who will just say, you know what, guys, here you are. And let me just share with you real quick, and I appreciate the time, but you know what, there's a piece of legislation, public hearing, tomorrow night on a piece of property on Scott Mill. It's going to be with the fire department. And you know what? It's 100 feet on the river. And they're buying it, you know, for the fire department for $2 million, $1 million over what they're at, over the assessed value. But anyway, I'll be speaking to that tomorrow night. So anyway, that is another option. There's so many different options, Ken. But I just wanted to reach out to you, let you know.
And they're going to put a fire department on Scott Mill Road in Mandarin?
It's going to be
on the river?
Yeah, it's going to be a marine unit.
Oh.
And you know what? I'll be telling. But you know what? It's not on the CPAC 3, you know, for tonight. Or maybe it is. You know, Joe could even, go to it. But there's another example. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of examples that I can just share with everybody. But anyway, when it comes to the waterways, this is right now an unbelievable unique. It would be the second public access in that entire waterway of Pottsburg, Arlington River, St. John's River. And I'll be more than happy to take you and show you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. I know I went by 3 minutes.
I showed you more than 3 minutes, and I didn't gavel you down.
I know. You know what? Thank you. I'll tell you. Thank you very much.
No, I appreciate you coming and speaking. But I know Ken's got stuff he's got to do, and I got a 12 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here, Councilman.
Well, I love you, brother, and I want to help you succeed all that I can, and.
I'm looking forward to the days ahead.
Come see me.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, this meeting is adjourned.